Live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios in Knoxville, it's the Morning Show on Fan Run Radio. Here are your hosts, John Reed and Bob Baskerville.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Happy Thursday morning to you, John Reed, Bob Baskerville, Sam Beard, as we kick off this Thursday edition of the Morning Show. Top of the morning to you, Bob. How are you?
I'm good. I'm hoping that it's just allergies or something, but I'm might come off a little hoarse today. I'm starting to get a little scratchy, a little congested. Which is ironic since so beautiful out weather-wise right now. But it's hitting me a little. I feel fine, but I'm just kind of a little stuffy. But doing okay. How about you?
Nay. Or just call you a pony, because that would be a little hoarse.
Wow. Got another one for today, Sam.
You might have to stop these, John.
I'm sore. My legs are shot. It was a Willis Reed type of performance last night at kickball. As you know, it's hard to go out there and play kickball, but especially after leg day, and now my legs are completely shot. Yesterday was an abysmal day. Yesterday was about a 2 out of 10 on the scale for me. I was down bad from the start of the day. After the show, I had to go get my windshield fixed. That took 7 hours. That was $1,500 down the drain. That was, I guess, $500 down the drain. I think the insurance is going to give me a lot of that back. But $1,500 down the drain, 8 hours of my life. I had to run back across town. I had to take care of the pup. Then I had to run all the way back to campus to fulfill my duty. Kickball, final regular season game. It was a hotly contested game. I was 3 for 3. I finally figured it out. It took me 6 games back in the swing of things to finally get my little bloop over third base into left field. It used to be money for me my whole life. Up until yesterday, I'd been hitting it foul, and giving up, and, you know, just trying to boot it as far as you can, hope that people drop the ball. It's essentially what my method has been. But finally, I'm back, Sam, and just two, boom, right over the third baseman's head. Boom, boom.
You're just hitting little dink singles?
I won't call them dinks, but yeah, just a nice little chip. Nice little mid-range jumper.
Kind of like an Ichiro.
Essentially, thing. Yeah. Yeah, essentially. Because there's two things. They make the girls bunt, and a lot of the guys on my team bunt too. The guys have to bunt it a little bit further, but it's still a bunt. Nah, I'm not trying to do that. I respect the game. I got too much respect for myself, too, to be out there bunting. Like, we're not playing for million-dollar contracts out there. If we're playing for million-dollar contracts or prizes, maybe I'd take a different approach. But we got a team captain who takes it a little too seriously. He, like, runs the league, and it's a conflict of interest, in my opinion. I get a little embarrassed, you know, whenever the teams are arguing. I just kind of turn away because, you know, it's kickball, Greg. It's kickball. But, yeah, he told me, just bunt this one down, and I shook him off. I felt like a batter just looking at the third base coach, be like, no, I'm swinging away, and you know, just boop, boop, just dropping him over third base, just double after double. Although I do think I got to be honest. I'm an honest man. If anybody from the pink team is listening, I agree. I thought my last hit, which was a really great hit, but I do think it was a little foul. I think the home plate's up, got that one wrong. I do think it curved a little bit. Maybe it caught the line out there, maybe, but if they were like, it's foul, and I agree, and, you know, my team didn't really run the bases, so it should have been like a, you know, double, a couple RBIs, but instead they just all waited, and we all kind of looked and argued. Because also the ump screamed fair ball, and I don't think you really do that in umping. Like, I feel like that's kind of the rule of, like tennis, right? I once got into an argument with a girl playing tennis because, well, A, she was mean, but B, like, she hit a ball she thought was out. I didn't say anything, and I played it back. You know what I mean? Like, cause you only call out. You don't say in, because that gets confusing, right? So this guy's like, fair ball, and everyone stopped. He's like, no, it's fair. I was like, why the hell did you say anything? You know, if it's fair, you don't say anything. It's understood. So then we had an argument, and then it was a whole thing. And that girl, man, she was so mean. She's like, my serve was out. I was like, no, it wasn't. If it was out, I would have called it out. Respect my call. She's mad I hit a winner back. And I was like, it's not my fault you hit a soft serve. So then we got in a big argument. I was like, you know what? Forget it. not that big of a deal. That's how I felt last night playing kickball. I was just like turning away. I was just like, I got to look away because this is getting awkward. But anyways, Bob, 3 for 3. 3 for 3. A couple of nice catches. You know, I got to say the wind was swirling out there in right field. The wind was swirling. Some kicks were coming off the foot with a lot of spin and kind of fading away from me. I had to make one where I kind of overran it, and I had to spin back and kind of catch it with my hands. And my teammate out there was like, wow, man, nice catch. I was like, thanks, bro. Thanks. I didn't think you were going to get to that. And I was like, actually, I kind of overran it, if you want to be honest. I was like, but then my team captain, at one point we needed a third baseman. And I went up there to play third base. He's like, you sure you want to play third? He's like, can you handle that? And I was just kind of like, what? What do you mean, can I handle that? He's like, do you want to play third? I was like, no, not really. I was like, I like being out in the right field. That's where the action's at. And I'm like, because third base, you're just fielding bunts and trying to throw. And it's really hard to throw the girls out. So then you're just kind of set up for failure. So then, like, in the middle, before he started pitching, he, like, made me go switch. And I kind of felt offended by that. But at the same time, it's where I wanted to be. And I felt like it was a more important position. So I don't know. But I feel like he thought that guy was better than me. You think you're better than me? That's how I felt. But I just went out there and, you know, made a couple big catches out there. But I did feel a little judge, Bob.
Who is this, your captain, that's the one saying you think you want to play third?
Yeah, yeah, he's the captain, but he's also the pitcher. You know what I mean? So, like, he's trying to manage everything. And it's his league. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to do it. It's your barbecue, Cyrus. So I'm going to go out there and do what you say because, A, it's way more important to you, it seems like, than everyone else. But, B, like, you know what? I respect the hierarchy. I don't need to be the team leader. I'm fine with falling in line. It's his gig. And the thing is, we're a random team that got put together. Like, we had pockets of people, like solo people signing up, and then they got all threw us all together. Yeah. So, like, there's no real pecking order. So it does work out that we have a team leader. But, yeah, he was like, you sure you want to play third? He's kind of looking around. I'm like, feeling a little offended because the guy he put out there I didn't think was that much, you know, man, that much stronger of an arm. He kind of threw it a little weird, too, and I don't know.
That's like when I play ball, basketball, you know, if somebody on my team – doesn't happen often, but they tell you this, you know, you guard this guy. It's more like they just know better about all of it.
Yeah, but are you guarding that guy because you're a good defender? Or are you guarding that guy because that guy can't score and they think, hey, you'll be fine. You guys can kind of just hang out and handle each other. That's the question that you have to ask yourself in your head.
Oh, no. That's the point.
Yeah, that's how I felt out in right field. I'm like, am I out here because this is a better position?
Yeah.
Or because they think I can't throw him out, which I really don't like throwing him out. I told you last week, which he wasn't there last week. So, like, when I was making the bad – I had a couple bad throws. Maybe word got back to him that this guy had a couple bad throws. I don't know. But we tied.
All of that.
All that for a tie?
Yeah, but the team was undefeated.
No, it's a tie, John.
It's not my league, Sam. We only have an hour to play. There's three time slots. Like, you can't stay there for extras and, like – the playoffs start, you know, the playoffs are next week. So this is just like a seeding game. I mean, the NHL used to do it for a long time. Soccer does it. I mean, NFL does it. And it happens. I know baseball hasn't adopted the tie yet, but, like, outside the All-Star game, but, like, it happens.
Should have just done, like, a home run derby in the parking lot.
In the parking lot? Well, I was going to say, we didn't have time, but, yeah, maybe whoever can kick it over the cars. Mm-hmm. But our team, we'd be at a disadvantage. All we do is bunt. We can't have a home run derby. We just
run around the parking lot.
Yeah, we just bunt. The other team was mad, but, you know, like, I got to be honest, not to belittle my team, because we came in second place. I think we're like 6-1, 7-1. This team was undefeated. We didn't have a couple of our best players, but I think we were a lot happier with the tie than they were, but it's also because they got out to an early lead. We kind of fought back. We had to tie it up in the last inning. We tied it up in the top of the last inning, then held them scoreless in the bottom to get the tie, so I think they were a little frustrated at themselves. But, yeah, all that for a tie. Did feel a little weird, to be honest. But also, like, our team was like, yeah, tie, good job. And they're like, damn it. Well, at least we're still undefeated.
Were you celebrating the tie?
I thought our team showed some grit. I was happy with my – like, if we got a tie and I went 0-3, I'd be a little upset. But the fact I went 3-3, well, 2-for-3 with an error. 2-for-3 with an error. I booted it far to the outfield. It's like maybe the kickball scorekeeper would call it a hit. But the guy dropped it. Like, two of them are going, like, it was curving away from him, and, you know, it was his fault. He couldn't get his hands on it. But then, like, there was an awkward moment where, like, the guy next to him, it felt like on his back, and I thought I was going to get, like, you know, like, he dropped it, and it's on his back, and he still grabs it, kind of like Julian Edelman in the Super Bowl against the Seahawks. I thought that was going to happen, but then it hit the ground. And that was a catalyst for, you know, us getting the run rule and getting the game tied back up. So, you know, earned a little respect. And then, yeah, two bloops over third base. So I felt good with my performance. So the tie, yeah, I was content with it. I was content with it. But also just embarrassing ready to get out of there. We're the team that argues. I don't like being the team that argues. Yeah. And then, like, the pitcher who's the captain and the owner of the league would, like, get mad if they would take a pitch. So then he would, like, throw it really hard or, like, just throw it at them. And, like, and then they're just like, what are you doing? And I was just like, yeah, just pitch the ball, man. Just roll the ball. Let's go. What are we doing here?
Get chippy in a kickball league.
Especially when it's your league. You got to show a little better decorum. But it was fun if he's listening. You know, I appreciate you taking leadership of the team. I hope he's not listening. Like, this guy's cut. This is why he can't play third base. Next time you're out, you're just going to be sitting. Well, anyways, that was my night. What about you, Bob? Anything exciting?
No, I was out at I helped out with the drive yesterday out at Smokies Stadium. So sat in with Russell and Tucker for a little bit. Did that. Got to talk to some of the folks. Got to meet the clubhouse manager for the Smokies, which was kind of a cool deal. It's like a job you don't ever think much about. They call him the clubby. And he's the guy that does everything, you know, particularly at the AA level versus the major league level, all the way down to, you know, getting meals set up, getting stuff in the dugout ready for him, also helping the opposing team. And they get, you know, they get paid, obviously, but they also get tips from the players.
From the players?
So, yeah, yeah, because, you know, presumably they're doing a good job taking care of them. So... so that was kind of cool. Got to hear that whole story and got to see Smokies Stadium because 4 weeks from today, tonight, we have Fan Run Night. So it was kind of nice just kind of getting a feel for that out there.
Did you get anything accomplished for Smokies Night? Did we have anything planned? Did you at least get our section of where we'll be sitting at? Did you talk any business or was it all just kind of a, hey, here's the show. Hey, we'll stay in contact. Hey, make sure John's arm stretched out for the first pitch.
He's scouting out the mound.
That's oh, yeah. No, that was a topic of discussion for sure. Russell brought that up about your first pitch ambitions.
Right.
And now we talked with Aris again. He came on the show as well. And, yeah, he's excited. You know, he's like, yeah, man, whatever you guys need. I think it's really you know, on us to come back with them. We didn't really talk much about that at our meeting on Tuesday. We kind of need to as a group, right, and talk about what it is we want to what we want to be involved in, but I think it's kind of a blank palette within reason. I think we can kind of do whatever, you know. It could be cool.
Well, I feel like I've done my part. I've played my portion, and I've got Sam lined up for a race, kind of like the Braves do the Beat the Freeze.
Yes.
Sam's going to race people foul pole to foul pole, except unlike the Freeze, Sam's going to take a 10-step head start. I think that's fair.
Yeah.
You get a little bit of the head start because the guy from the Braves, he chases people down. That's not what we're going to do here. We're going to give you a head start, Sam, and see if anybody can catch you from behind.
Who's running with me, though?
I don't know. We haven't figured that out.
Some random thing.
Well, I mean, what if the random person's just faster than me? Then
well, that's why we're giving you a 10-second head start, Sam. I've thought of things. Do you need a 20-step head start?
I kind of don't want the favor, so if I lose, I don't look like a complete.
Well, what if you just get dusted, though?
I'd rather get dusted just one-on-one than, like, what if I get dusted with a 15-step head start?
You know, Jake Miller would take this opportunity.
Jake seems
gladly.
Like more of a run foul pole to foul pole guy.
Well, I don't know. Come up with your own gimmick then. I was trying to make you our Freeze.
No,
but
I mean, I can be the Freeze.
You don't have to. Come up with your own thing.
I have to go in costume too?
No.
Oh, no.
No. I mean, you can if you want. I mean, I got my I got my contribution to Smokies Night. I'm throwing out the first pitch.
Okay.
Master of ceremonies, if you will. That's what I'm doing. So you guys go with your own gimmicks.
They have no costume, but you could wear one. You could bring one of your own. And
I feel like you can't wear the Freeze. You can't wear something blue, though. You gotta have your own thing. Gotta have your own gimmick.
Something just completely opposite from the Freeze, I guess.
Fire.
Yeah. I can get the hair.
Are you fast? Not really.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not like. I'm
yeah,
not
I mean,
slow,
I know you're
not
a sprinter.
Fast,
yeah. Okay.
Yeah, but yeah, there's a lot of, you know, that dizzy bat stuff. We could do some of that with somebody. I thought we felt that would be a good G.I. Jake show bit for them to do.
Dizzy bat first pitch.
Oh, wow.
We'll figure it out. We got a month. Smokies Stadium, May 30th, Fan Run Night. Nice of Bob and Russell to be up there rubbing shoulders and game planning and continuing to nurture that relationship. Sam, did you have a good night? Anything important to report?
I really did nothing yesterday.
Good deal. Let's go to break. It's the morning show on Fan Run Radio. All right, Bob, what is the big sports story as we come in here on this Thursday morning? Don't sound so sad about it.
Well, it's NBA playoffs. It's just the two games last night were just blowouts, both of them. Boston took care of Miami like we figured they would after losing game two. They rolled from that point on. No Porzingis, no problem. Boston won by 34 last night against Miami.
Yeah, that one to me I don't find interesting, really. I think that one was a foregone conclusion. If I'm talking Boston-Miami, it's really just the death of Miami.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like if I am a – like, that's a loss. That's the type of series that – especially the last three games, of course, where you just get blown out three straight games, essentially. You reevaluate things in your franchise. Yeah, Terry Rozier was out. Yeah, Jimmy Butler was out. That wasn't changing that series. It wasn't changing your season. You were in the play-in game for a reason. You were the eight seed for a reason. Jimmy Butler didn't look like the same Jimmy Butler, you know, that he had in previous years. I think his legs, his athleticism is gone 10% or so, and that's going to be a big drop-off for him. And if you watched him this year, you saw the lack of explosion. He actually got hurt, ironically enough, in that play-in game against the Sixers, doing something that he's been doing all year to make up for his lack of athleticism, which is like double, triple pump fakes to try to get people to buy, you know, bite those so he could jump into them and get fouls because he doesn't have the explosiveness to really go up and shoot over people anymore. And he pump faked, and then got his leg out and got hit. And that put him on the shelf and ended his season. From a Miami perspective, it's just like, yeah, now what? It's Pat Riley, old, last legs. Jimmy Butler, old, last legs. Do they try to swing for the fences with their first-round draft picks that they'll have at their disposal? Or do they start maybe retooling and reselling and try to send Butler to a contender and get younger or whatnot? I assume they're going to keep chasing big game. Maybe revisit Milwaukee and try to get Dame Lillard. I don't know who else would be on the table for Miami. Maybe they swing big at Giannis and hope he's upset in Milwaukee. I don't know, but I imagine they're going to be one of the key players this offseason.
Yeah, I think of their core, if you remove Jimmy and – I mean, maybe Rozier is part of it, but you've got – what? You got Bam Adebayo. You got Tyler Hero. You got Jaime Jaquez, who was really showing some promise. But they need something else because if Butler has lost that step like we think he has – whether he's there or not, they're going to need more. That's all there is to it. And I would say for the moment, they can get it back, but Heat culture is a little bit under attack right now, I would say.
The Miami Heat are similar to the Hawks in that regard and similar to a lot of young teams. Young teams overvalue their pieces, and eventually those become just regular age players that are not as good as you once thought they could be. Like, that's what the Heat have been. Like, they've been protecting Tyler Hero the last 3 years and be like, hey, no, we can't trade him. Hey, no, we can't trade him. That's a guy that might be a 25 points a game scorer, and he might be one of the best young guards in the league. And no, we view him in the elite prospect range. And okay, well, now all of a sudden you look at Tyler Hero's in year what? Year four, year five, and he's a pretty flawed player that can get you some points but can't really do much to impact winning. Can't be the best player on a team, on a championship team. Can't be the second best player on a championship team. I don't really think he'd be a third best player on a championship team. Then all of a sudden you start thinking, well, they were also better with him last year whenever he was on the bench. Like, Tyler Hero got hurt in the playoffs, and that's kind of when the Heat turned into a finals type of team. All of a sudden, he doesn't look as good as he once was. Bam, a little bit like that, a little bit like that. Bam, he could be the best center in the league. Well, he's not going to quite be that. He's more of a top five guy, which is good, but not the elite prospect you had. Trade value down. It might happen with Nikola Jovic, who they got there. It might happen with Jaime Jaquez, those guys they deem untouchable. All of a sudden, you look around, all of a sudden, they don't reach that highest ceiling you gave them, and then all of a sudden, they seem kind of mid.
Yeah.
Happens with quarterbacks all the time in the NFL. well, this guy could be this, he could be that. Well, no, actually, just kind of settles in that 12 to 15 range. Hey, Justin Fields could be a stud. No, he's just kind of a flawed quarterback that is athletic. It happens all the time, and I think that's where the Heat are right now. It's like, hey, we got old Jimmy Butler, we got Bam, who's really good, not elite, and then we got a bunch of pieces that we overvalued for a long time and said were untouchable in trades that actually we should have probably traded.
Yeah. And as for Boston, we talked earlier about Porzingis being out, but Derek White has really – he's had a great season, but he has shaped into – if he has to be a number three option, he's been filling that role the last – particularly the last few games.
Derek White has been really, 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 really good this year. He's their fourth best player by far. At times, he's probably been better than Porzingis. I don't know about more important than Porzingis, but maybe better. He's one of those superstar role players, and he's somebody that, like, when he got traded from San Antonio to the Celtics, no one really thought much of that, but he unlocked so much for them. He's the reason they were able to trade Marcus Smart. He's the reason, you know, that they can play some of these versatile lineups. He can guard your best perimeter player. He can hit open shots. He's a superstar role player, and he's been really, really good, and he's really good in this series. I thought he was really good last year in the playoffs too.
Yeah, I agree. I think the question that still lies for Boston is how many games does Porzingis miss, because I'm trying to think, they'll play the winner of Orlando-Cleveland. That series could end, I think they play again tonight. I mean, that
tomorrow.
Or is it tomorrow?
Yeah.
Okay. So that series could end pretty quickly. It's almost like Boston would probably be happier if that thing went to a seventh game, bought them a little bit of time. Although I don't think they're going to have much trouble with either of the teams they would face there.
Orlando's been a tricky matchup for them this year, if it is Orlando that gets there. Of course, Orlando facing elimination on Friday and not going to be favored to get there. But Orlando's size has kind of bothered Tatum and Brown. So, like, if that is the matchup, maybe they could take a couple games, especially without Porzingis. But, yeah, I mean, Porzingis plays into that, too. Like, Porzingis was a guy who kind of fits both of those things I'm talking about. When he's with the Knicks, you're like, wow, unicorn, untouchable, top five trade piece in the league. And then Dallas gives him that big contract, and we kind of start picking him apart, and him and Luka's not getting along, and there's no fit there. And Porzingis becomes a pretty overrated player that doesn't get thought of highly anymore. He ends up in Washington, and like, okay, he actually quietly became pretty good in Washington and kind of figured some things out. And then, you know, Boston went and got him, and he's been a, you know, a real integral part to the best team in the league this year. He's kind of like Derek White, same as Drew Holiday. I'd imagine if I was a Bucks fan, I'd be pretty mad almost every day that the Bucks gave up Drew Holiday for Dame Lillard. Especially like this season when the Bucks defense went from top, you know, three or four in the league down to the bottom for most of the season. I would be really mad that Dame Lillard was out there, because Drew Holiday is one of those superstar role players. Not a superstar, not a star, not somebody that can lead you to championships, but if he's your second or third best player, you can have something special. So the Celtics, you know, I give Brad Stevens a lot of credit, because that roster that they had the last couple years had gotten pretty stale and had gotten in trouble, and maybe you're at the risk of, you know, kind of ruining the Jason Tatum early prime years paired up with Jaylen Brown. Instead, you start getting those superstar role players. You get Porzingis, you get Derek White, you get Drew Holiday, and, of course, then you kind of build a really versatile, flexible roster. I think Brad Stevens was a really, really, really awesome college coach. I thought he was a really good NBA coach. I think he might be the best executive in the league if he just kind of hangs out in that front office. So the Celtics roster construction, I think, is really important. And then, yeah, what happens to the Heat? Otherwise, that five-game series was a bore.
Yeah. Speaking of Stevens, he just got awarded NBA Exec of the Year, which is
voted, well-deserved.
Yeah, voted by your peers, too, which is really, that says it all to me. So, yeah, he's done an amazing job there. That second game, again, it was tough last night because we've been seeing so many great games in nights prior. But I was excited to watch some of this Dallas Clippers series, or that game last night. But it got ugly pretty quick. It was good to see. It felt like Luka was back into Luka form for Dallas.
I don't know. Like Luka got really going in the third quarter. But I thought at halftime, like, It was bad news for the Clippers because they were down 10 at half and Luka was 0 for 5 from 3. And you're just like, man, like the Mavericks didn't really get a good Luka performance in the half. And then the third quarter, I thought he was awesome and kind of buried them. The Clippers are such a frustrating team, and it makes sense because their three best players are all super frustrating for different reasons. Hell, their four most well-known players all super frustrating for different reasons, if you include Russell Westbrook, who's not really good anymore, but he's still a notable guy, and a guy that you see when he's out there. He's important off the bench. But, like, Kawhi Leonard, frustrating for his own reasons. You see the shot of him on the bench. You're like, yeah, this is just you every year. You're on the bench letting your team down. He's frustrating for that reason. Paul George, frustrating because he has all the makings of, like, a top 10 player in the league. It's a top wing in the league. But he just doesn't have it in him to take over games. James Harden, frustrating for different reasons. Just a guy that's won MVPs but has a track record over the last 8 years, 9 years, 10 years of just coming up small in the playoffs. And he teased you in game four. He was awesome in game four. And if you're a Clippers fan, a bad decision. The Lakers were right there. Why wouldn't you just be a Lakers fan? You had it right there in the same city. You could have had championships. You could have had something. Instead, you chose the misery of being a Clippers fan. That was dumb. But B, like, yeah, you start believing in this team. Hey, maybe it's better without Kawhi. Hey, this team's got good pieces. Hey, they're going to be at home two of the last three games. They can still win this series. I believe in these guys. And then right from the jump, you see it. James Harden, Paul George, just they didn't have it. They didn't have it. And I jinxed myself. I had talked about all the right decisions I'd been making. I had James Harden over 21.5 points. Saw it from the get-go. He wasn't making his shots. And when he doesn't make his shots, he's pretty useless. Bad decision by me. Live bet Clippers, halftime bet Clippers, just 0 for 3 last night. Big mess by me. I made a big mess and had to go lay in bed and wallow in it as I thought. Big game, James. Why would you do this to me? Just an absolutely abysmal third quarter. It was one of the most embarrassing things I've ever seen. They had 4 points in 7.5 minutes in a pivotal game five. At home, it was disgusting.
I was absolutely
disgusting.
I should have kept a count how many lobs that Dallas had on them between Derek Jones and even Gafford had one and Derek Lively, and I mean it was like I don't know what was going on the back of the Clippers defense, though there was none. Basically, it was unbelievable.
When you start looking at narratives and you start looking, because that's what the NBA playoffs are about, narratives, and it's usually always about the losing team, trying to dissect them and figure out their future. When you look at the Clippers narrative, yeah, it's the back end defense, like Zubac, you have nobody to protect the rim. You have a bunch of players that either don't play when it comes to playoff time or, you know, choke in the playoffs. Paul George, James Harden, two of the guys we think of when we think of playoff failures. And then you also have Ty Lue, who I'm just like, man, I know at one point we thought of you, like, people in the NBA circles even tried to call him like a young Belichick. He's the NBA's Belichick. If you give him time to dissect you, he's going to figure it out. And he's so good in the playoffs. And now I'm wondering, was Ty Lue actually good, or was it just like, hey, he had LeBron James? A basketball genius. Like, is that what it was? Because otherwise, if you look at all of the Clippers in the playoffs, man, it's just been choke after choke after choke. Yeah, he doesn't have Kawhi all the time. That's fine. But, like, last night, it didn't look like you had made any adjustments. It looked like Jason Kidd had outcoached you. Looked like Jason Kidd was pushing the right buttons. Like Bob said, they just picked you apart, you know, offensively, just lob after lob. You had no answer for them. You had no answer, really, for defensive stopper Kyrie Irving. That was maybe the most surprising thing of that game. Was like, he just locked up James Harden. He was in his jersey the entire night. And they decided, hey, we're going to pressure James Harden. We're going to wear him down. And it does look like, now that we're here in game five, or out of game five, headed to game six, that James Harden is tired. Fat boy has broken down. And I think it's because of the pressure that the Mavericks have been putting on him.
I'm back on board with I like good Kyrie right now. I'm enjoying watching him. I mean, he didn't score that many points last night, but he still made some big plays. And like you said, played good D. Who knew?
No, Kyrie's been a leader. And you know, you start thinking about all the times the last couple years, last 4 or 5 years, where people were really out on Kyrie and, you know, really just had no trade value. The Lakers could have gotten him for pretty cheap, just for 2 first-round picks. Something that they always do with stars. And they looked around and said, thanks but no thanks, Kyrie. And I can't help but think about how different the Lakers' fortunes would be this year if it was Kyrie, LeBron, and Anthony Davis. They might have been a championship-level team, but they're like, no thanks. We don't know what this guy's got going on. This guy seems to be losing his mind. He's offending the Jewish community. He's talking about starting his own basketball league. He's saying the earth is flat. He's doing all these things that make you wonder, what the hell's going on with this guy? And then you see, oh, wait, this is why he's worth the trouble, because he's still one of the really, really good, really elite top basketball players in the world when he's focused. And this year he's been focused. The Mavericks lost Jalen Brunson for nothing. Jalen Brunson's a top 25 player. He's a top 5 point guard. They lost him for nothing. That should be something that kind of sinks the Mavericks. And it did last year. They missed the playoffs. But this year they're pretty dangerous, and you don't really think about it much anymore. That's how good Kyrie's been. Kyrie's been awesome. He was kind of somebody we looked at in a bad light, in a villain light. You wondered, is he worth it? And then this year it's just been a face turn. In this playoff series, he's been the best player in the series. The hustle plays. Kyrie out there diving on the floor for loose balls and steals and playing good defense. Like, that's something that we don't think of stars doing, but he's kind of setting the tone by example.
Yeah, agreed. So do we think this is Dallas in 6 now? They go back to Dallas.
Yeah.
And I think you're right.
Yeah, I think so. I'd imagine they close it out. Unless the Clippers just have another game like they did in the start of Game 4, they just come out and hit, you know, 60% of their threes in the first half. Like last night, it felt like a throwback to the James Harden Rockets that lost to the Warriors in 7, where they missed like 20 straight threes and finished 1 of 25 or whatever it was. Because at one point during their 4-point third quarter stretch where they were getting blown off the court, I believe it was Jamal Crawford's like, yeah, they have missed 11 straight threes. Like, yeah, that checks out. James Harden can't come through for you when you need it. And I was on the wrong side of that. It was a bad day. Bad day yesterday all around for me. Except for kickball, 3 for 3.
I think they can I'll be interested to see how they stack up against Oklahoma City. I think they can give them a series. That could be interesting.
For sure. No, I mean, the Mavericks have been playing really good defense. The Mavericks are dangerous. I mean, the Mavericks, you take your chances with Luka in any playoff series, you know, in terms of being the best player on the court and taking over. And if Kyrie is playing as good as he can, they can beat anybody. Denver, you know, Luka versus Jokic, if that is the matchup in the conference finals, that'd be a lot of fun too. But yeah, so far through 5 games, Kyrie Irving has been the most interesting person in that series. And like I said, I feel like he went from bad guy to kind of like, hey, I like Kyrie. This redemption arc. Stick with us. We'll talk some college football because I think it ties in because, boy, whew. Boys were tweeting again yesterday at Colorado. Let's go to break. It's the morning show at Fan Run Radio.
Ever been the coach who realized the team's gear just wasn't up to par? Well, if I'm being honest, that was me. Just a downright ear.
Back in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Man, I wanted so many White Claws because I was sitting there waiting on my windshield to get fixed. But I abstained because it was Wednesday afternoon and I'm not an alcoholic, but I do love me some White Claw Hard Seltzer. Please drink it responsibly. Pick up a 12-pack of the Black Cherry, the Variety Pack, the Vodka Sodas, the Surge, the White Claw Premium Vodka. They got something for everybody. Please drink responsibly and support the people who support us. White Claw Hard Seltzer and Cherokee Distributing locally. We appreciate their support, as always. Well, Bob, Deion Sanders sure was tweeting yesterday.
That dude, man. He just can't help himself. Got to have the last word.
It's what we talked about yesterday in terms of him feeling like he's keeping it real and being authentic to himself. But at a certain point, you have to stop and think, like, hey, you're no longer that young, brash player. You're no longer that Neon Deion primetime that should have been maybe left in the you got to leave primetime in the past, and you can still be Coach Prime if you want, but it felt like yesterday it was more of the primetime player mentality, and like it's still a head scratcher for me, and like I just see it all over the internet now, just everyone kind of coming together to root against Colorado, like punching down and arguing with FCS players. Quote tweeting like an FCS player's stats with like, Lord Jesus, implying that this guy's stats are just so bad it makes you scream out to the Lord. Like what's the benefit there? I still don't understand. It's one thing if it's Shador, because you give Shador a little bit of a pass. Like, I know yesterday I was talking about, hey, you're the head coach, or you're the quarterback. You gotta be more of a team leader. But at the end of the day, he still is a 21-year-old kid. Should he be better than that? Should he be more mature than that? Sure. But he's still in college, and I got to be honest, if I was in college and I was driving around and I was a star, who knows how I would be acting. But I don't think the same applies for Deion Sanders. I don't think you get to say, oh, he's just a kid. Like, you got to kind of know better at some point. And I'm not trying to tell somebody to be humble. I'm not trying to put somebody in their place. I'm just saying, man, like, what are you doing?
I think it's compounded, too, with the fact that he's pulling his, you know, in his mind, he's defending his son, but he's pulling his son into it, which, again, you know, like you said, he's a kid. You expect a little bit of this stuff from him, but from Shador, but, you know, then Deion's basically not only kind of rationalizing it in his mind, he's just, it just feels, the whole thing feels tawdry to me. I don't like it a bit.
Shador should be better. Shador should be better, but I'm not going to crush him near as much as his dad, who has taken that to the extreme and just, you know, putting a target on their back. Like at the very least, if you don't want to be humbled by the media, if you don't want the fans to win, if you want to respond to the haters and you want to be yourself and celebrate and send your tweet about how people that hate you actually love you, they're just jealous or whatever the hell he was trying to say with that in terms of people obsessing with him. I get it. Whatever. Bleep the haters. We're in an era of hate and diss tracks and be yourself. Whatever. Get it. But at a certain point, you're going past braggadocious and you're just becoming like a little psychotic. You're becoming just a little crazy when you realize what you're doing to your actual team. Because people liked beating Colorado last year. I feel like that's going to go to a whole different level this upcoming season. You're inviting your son to get absolutely obliterated behind what should be an improved offensive line, but we don't know how it's going to mesh.
It's brand new.
Yeah, it's going to be brand new. Yeah, it should be better because last year's was so bad, but we don't know if it's going to be good or not. And like Shador, man, like you're putting a target on your back. You're making some college kids mad, and if you do that to enough people, like somebody's going to take a cheap shot at you. Somebody's going to hit you. Somebody's going to want to put you in the dirt. And the coach and your dad's not making it any better for you. From just a perspective of a coach and a leader of a program, you're making things tough on you. You're writing checks that we know your team can't cash. Professionalism aside.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like if you that's my question is I guess if you can't monitor and manage your own kid, how are you going to manage and monitor a team, right? And that's the thing. It's like I would have understood this. I wouldn't have condoned it. I would have understood it a little more if this kind of behavior was happening when they were standing 4-0 and feeling themselves last season. But actually, they're on the other end, man. They're a sinking ship at the moment. And I don't know. Maybe he's just feeling he's kind of rallying the troops, but it's just the whole thing's a bad look.
There's a part of me that started appreciating it yesterday, though. This morning when I went and I went through Coach Prime's Twitter, he's got a lot more retweets now. Like he's trying to, I don't know if he's trying to like clutter the timeline up and like get the hates off of the very top of it. He's retweeting all the positivity about his program and some random fans that are standing with him. He's retweeting some of that, but he didn't delete them. He's standing on business. He's not deleting them. There's a part of me that's like, you know what? I would be mad if I was a Colorado fan. I'd be mad if I was a parent of a player at Colorado. I'd be wondering what the hell we got ourselves into. I'd be worried about that. You saw a recruiting analyst, you know, basically, or it was a college football personality at least, you know, talk about how just unprofessional it was and how Deion's doing this, and you know, fans were like, hey, this is, you're going too far, you're putting your own opinion in it. And then that guy kind of clapped back with, well, this is actually from the number one receiver's mother, and it was like a statement about basically like, we are now seeing like Colorado's character and like my son will never go there. So like you're hurting yourself there, like making yourself look bad when it comes to trying to recruit players and build up depth, because Deion Sanders is making it clear, like, yeah, we're going to make fun of you if your stats aren't good. It's going to be hard to get people to come voluntarily be backups if you're cutting freshmen and you're making fun of players who are maybe taking a little bit longer to develop. It just seems so head-scratching. But again, there's a part of me that appreciates a good heel. And I got there and I was like, you know what? It's making the sport more interesting. So I'm ready. I'm ready to clock in this season. I'm ready to put on my hard hat, get these tweets off, and just become a big-time hater. I'm ready to do that. I'm ready to go to war against Colorado this season, and that's good. I like sports hate. I like sports hate. I'm glad to have some in my life.
It goes back to what I was talking about yesterday. So imagine this scenario. It's almost unimaginable, but if Tennessee had their football coach or their basketball coach acting out the way Deion's doing, how do you think Danny White would handle it? He would intervene, right? This is the other thing. I'm starting to hold their AD responsible. It's like, take this guy aside. You have no control of this, clearly. That's what's going on.
Danny likes to trade a couple jabs, but he hasn't gotten any full-blown like social media wars, right? He took on, was it Dan Walken he quote-tweeted one time? Yeah. Or he, you know, called that guy out with his sources. He's taking a couple of small jabs, but yeah. You're 100% right, and Deion made it a point. I don't know if you saw. He made it a point to say that he was sitting next to his AD yesterday.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, he's like, hey, these Big 12 meetings that we're at, we're learning a lot about the conference, and thanks to, you know, tagged his AD, we're sitting here together going over some stuff. So he made it a point to be like, hey, this AD's cool with the way I'm acting.
That's incredible, man.
The Big 12 meetings are very informative. AD Rick George right next to me receiving all this great info at CU Buffs Football. So made sure to throw him under the bus too. Implied that, hey, they're sitting there laughing as Prime is talking about all of this and making fun of players on social media.
Prime's just showing him his phone, like, check this out. This is what I'm going to drop here in a second.
My favorite is people pulling out old tweets, like positivity tweets from Deion that were like 2 months ago. This one is literally 2 months ago from, like, the day. Can we please stop killing each other and tearing one another down? Can we take that same passion and desire to kill and destroy folks and use it to build, support, and promote each other? Can we? What's stopping us besides hate, envy, jealousy, and ignorance? And now we just got him rolling around in the mud with kids transferring to Austin Peay.
I don't know if this hits the same when you keep talking about hate and jealousy and envy. Like, you're not that program. You're not Georgia. If Kirby Smart was talking like this, I'd be like, okay. All right. Like, yeah, you know what? You're right. You do have the best program in college football right now. People are jealous. People are envious. If it was Kirby Smart, I think we'd be like, okay. Yeah, we can't really shut that team up on the field. This is a team that won how many games last year? Four? Mm-hmm. What the hell are people jealous about? Were people jealous of Deion Sanders like when he was a great cornerback and a great player and he was rocking the gold chains and rapping and living that lifestyle? Yeah, probably. Deion was really cool. Like, no one's jealous of Deion at this point. The envy's not there. Are people jealous of Shador? Yeah, maybe. If Shador tweeted that out, I'd be like, okay, maybe people are a little jealous of Shador. But I did like that his last tweet, which they made clear, they made a note that it was posted by Deion Sanders Jr. After all that hate, it comes the Bible verse now. I pursued my enemies and crushed them. I did not turn back till they were destroyed. I crushed them completely, and they could not rise. They fell beneath my feet. 2 Samuel 22:38 through 39. Take us to church, Deion Sanders Jr.
Wow.
I feel like Deion, I don't want to call him a phony. I don't want to call him a phony. I don't want to say anything bad about his faith, but Deion does seem like the person that maybe hides behind it a little bit. Like, hey, I'm going to spew all this negativity, but now I'm going to post this Bible verse to show you actually I'm God's best soldier. He did that same thing when he was a player. Like, there's a story somewhere of him getting sued because he had a bunch of car work done. He had a mechanic come and fix a bunch of his cars and do all this. And when the bill came, Deion's like, actually, I'm going to give you half that because God told me to. That's what he told him. He said, God told me I owe you about half of that. Here's $1,500. And that was his excuse. Like, everything he does, he'll always come back. But, well, this is God telling me this. Hey, God told me to tweet all these players and call them bums. This is God. But, hey, again, I appreciate it. I like that we have a sports villain. I don't know who else we have right now to root against. You had a big day for sports villains yesterday. You had Deion Sanders, and you had that boxer, Ryan Garcia, start popping up with some positive PED tests. So we got a couple villains now. We had been a while because I don't even know who else is on the list. Who do you sports hate right now, Bob?
Zach Edey.
That was quick, Sam. But Zach Edey's done, though.
Yeah, I was going to say, you still hate him.
That's what I'm saying. That was our guy.
Fair enough. He could be on the list. I think the rest of the country would agree with that. But now, you know, it's over. It's hard to be one in college, but he did succeed in doing that. You're right. Any other submissions? Because, like, I don't think there's any NFL quarterbacks you really sports hate right now. You know, you had Tom Brady for so long. You don't really have anybody right now in the NFL.
No, you're right. In college basketball, for me, but it's over now, but it was and I respect him coaching-wise, but I'm not a Nate Oates fan. He was a bit of a villain for me.
I'll take that submission. I'll take that. Now, I wonder if that's like sports as a whole or just like Tennessee, because I think like you'll always have your rivals of like your school, but I do think Zach Edey crossed over, Sam. He was hated by pretty much every fan base. It felt like. I don't know if every fan base hates Nate Oates or not, but sure. Tennessee for sure. Like on our list, yeah. Hate that guy. The NBA doesn't really have one right now either. I mean, like LeBron's going to always be that for half the people, but somewhat irrelevant because not hanging around the playoffs anymore.
Yeah, and, you know, I think Draymond was a good one, but they didn't make the, you know what I mean? They weren't around in the playoffs.
Draymond's a good one too. It still blows my mind when I'm watching these games and I see all these commercials over and over that Draymond has so many commercials.
Yeah.
Because, like, he's not even necessarily charismatic. He's a heel. He's a dirty player. I mean, he punched his teammate. I get he gets the rub from the inside the NBA guys, but, like, it's crazy to me that, like, a guy scoring 5 points a game and punching teammates and, like, you know, getting suspended for hard fouls and cheap plays – is getting all these commercials. I don't understand who's watching that and be like, hey, that's the pitch man I want. The audience, they're going to go buy something because they love Draymond Green. And that's kind of mind-blowing to me.
It's true.
They put his kid in there with him, though. Maybe that was it. Like the kid camping trip where they're going and gives a shout-out to the Timberwolves and Grizzlies. Like maybe that was the stipulation. It's like, hey, you could do this, but we got to give you your kid in there, soften you up a little bit. Any other submissions, Sam?
I can't think of anything else.
That's what I'm saying. I think we're a little light on villains.
Yeah.
In college sports, we don't really have them either. But now, thank you, Deion Sanders. You are bringing us together. Hate, hate, hate. It's healthy for us. It is in sports. That's what makes sports fun.
Yeah.
It's going to be a fascinating college football season with him. I mean, and he, you know, just imagine if they win some games and prove people wrong, then he's going to be, I think, that much more insufferable.
Watching them celebrate and talk their talk after beating North Dakota State is going to be pretty funny.
Yeah.
Because everyone's going to be like, bro, it's North Dakota State.
I'm kind of rooting for, like, both outcomes. Like, I'd be fine with him. I'd kind of like to see him just completely go all in on everything, or I'd like to see him just crash and burn.
Well, the thing I think we think is that the crash and burn's coming regardless.
Just matter when.
Yeah, so, like, would it be better if they get out to, like, a 3-0 start and then crash and burn? Yeah, probably. Would it be good if they just lost game one and just sucked all year? That'd probably be pretty good, too. Mm-hmm. The crash and burn is coming. It's Colorado. They can't back it up.
Yeah.
Hour one in the books. We'll kick off hour two of some stories you missed from yesterday. It's called About Last Night. Then we'll talk some Tennessee baseball. Big series starting in Gainesville tonight. We'll talk with Jack Foster, Rocky Top Insider. Stick with us. It's the morning show on Fan Run Radio.